My dad, Pastor Salem, had a remarkable gift for presenting deep biblical truths in a clear and practical way. In today's message, Dad shares one of the great blessings God offers to those who trust Him in his sermon titled, The Glorious Forgiveness of God. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here we are, another week's gone by. God's brought us on our way, and we've come to worship Him together. And we're going to have a sermon today about the wonderful forgiveness of God. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many wonderful letters, so let me share some of them with you. The first one I want to read is from the Philippines, and they write, from a small remote village in the Philippines, my mother, who is 80 years old, and my sisters are watching a program every Sunday over Daystar Channel. We are glad to hear you every Sunday morning. Blessings to you, Pastor. You are an inspiration. Well, the reason we're an inspiration is because we're carrying the Word of God. But I want to tell you something, that all of you, Grandma and the sisters and all of you, you're an inspiration to us. Just to get to think that we can worship together away in the Philippines in a remote village. Isn't that wonderful? And all of us are going to be back worshiping the Lord in heaven because we're believing in the Lord Jesus. And He's just going to take us home. We'll all be together. And won't that be something? Well, here's another letter from Pembroke, Georgia. Thank you so much for the film, Heart of a Shepherd. We're passing them out to friends and relatives. Now, the Heart of the Shepherd is an hour film, you know, and it is a film telling about how to accept Jesus, how the Lord's the way of salvation, and then it is step by step as we open our hearts to Jesus. And we just got a letter from Iowa from a grandmother, and she said that she showed her the film to her little grandson, 10 years old, and his little granddaughter, 5 years old. And she showed him the film, and when she got the conclusion, she said, the little boy said, Grandma, I want Jesus. The little girl said, Grandma, I want Jesus too. So Grandma prayed the prayer with them. Isn't that beautiful? And you can get this film on a free will offering basis, and I'll tell you about it at the close of the service. So get your pencil and paper together. Here's a letter from Watertown, South Dakota. I realize you have a great message about the salvation of heaven, how easy it is to accept Jesus, ask Him to forgive us our sins. Your message every Sunday makes me feel great inside, gives me hope for being in heaven someday. I have prayed your prayer asking Jesus to come into my heart, and it has changed He has changed my life. Now I try harder to follow Him and His commandments the best I can, and when I fall, I confess every Sunday, every Saturday before I go to church. Therefore, thank you for the great Word of God that has forever influenced my life, the better of my soul. And that's what God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, any person be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we have that old nature with us there to plague us and to cause us trouble. But we have a new nature too. And it's the nature of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit within us. And He will never leave us or forsake us. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. Now I'm 97. 87 years ago, I asked Jesus into my heart, and He never left me a single time. Boy, I failed Him. I know that, and I'm sorry about that, and I ask Him to forgive me, but He's never failed me a time. He's always with me. And when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, He'll come in, and the Holy Spirit and Christ will dwell in your heart until you move all the way to heaven, and then you can worship the Lord in heaven. And then let me see one more. Fox Home, Minnesota. I said the prayer and opened my heart to Jesus. Thanks for your service. Heart of a Shepherd is great. And so just get your pencil and paper ready. Then we've got some other things to offer you and other things to talk about that'll just cheer your soul. But in the meantime, just pray for the Christian Worship Hour and pray for that film as it goes all over the world. And the film itself has the invitation, how to accept the Lord and what to say, and some suggestions on asking the Lord. But it just comes right down to it. From your own heart, you just talk to God, and he comes into your heart. But let's take a look here about the glorious forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of God. And it's just one of the many blessings God gives us, and maybe it's the greatest blessing, I don't know. The forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a multitude of scriptures that assure us of this wonderful forgiveness found in the Lord Jesus. One of them is a statement given in Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14, where St. Paul writes, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your faith, hath he made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." God assures us when we come to Jesus Christ for cleansing that he forgives us all of our trespasses, all of our sins, all of our blots that were marked against us as when we failed God. And they were all marked against us. The handwriting was on the wall. And Jesus Christ utterly destroyed, paid for all of our sins, every sin we ever committed, and has washed them away. And this wonderful forgiveness includes all of our sins for all time. Sometimes the people think, oh, I know, I accepted Jesus and he forgave me my sins up to when I accepted him. From then on, boy, I better be careful. I'm on probation, and if I don't do things just right, I'll go to hell sure as the world. And so I'm scared to breathe practically so I don't do something wrong. And I'm walking on thin ice, walking on eggshells all the time. That isn't in the Bible. You know what the Bible tells us, what God tells us? When he forgives us for our sins, when we pray to him to forgive us our sins, he pays for all of our sins of the past, all of our sins of the present, and all of our sins as long as we live until we get to heaven. They're all paid in full. You say, I can't believe it. Well, you better believe it. That's what God teaches, and that's what God tells us. God has forgiven us all of our sins. They're all gone. They're washed away in the blood of the Lamb. That God remembers them no more. Oh, what a wonderful message. That's why I love to preach, because there's nobody that's hopeless. There's nobody that can't be saved. Anybody can come, no matter what you've done. Maybe you're some old sinner with a stack of sins a mile high, and you say, how can God ever forgive that? Well, I'll tell you how he forgives all those sins. He just doesn't say, oh, that's all right, we'll forget about him. Oh, no, oh, no, no, no. Jesus has to come and pay for those sins. And when Jesus was on the cross and he took all of our sins, I think he took them on himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's why he sweats, as it were, great drops of blood, because into that holy, pure body, he takes all of the sins of all of the world for all time. How could he bear it? And no wonder he shed drops of blood as he sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane. But when he was on that cross and he was crucified, he was nailed to the cross. And one of the things that he said on that cross, he made five cries from the cross. And he said this, he said, Father, he says, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? And I heard a man, a preacher one time, and he said, well, God hadn't forsaken him. He just thought he had. Oh, no. Oh, no. God turned his back on his son. He let him die on that cross all alone. It was so terrible thing that they had a sun. They had darkness at noontime, and there was an earthquake and shaking. Terrible things happening when God turned his back on his son. And the whole circle of eternity, from time evermore, memorial, in all of eternity, the only one time when God turned his back on his own son. And that's when he was on the cross and he turned his back on him, because he carried our sins and he paid for our sins with his own blood. And so when Jesus says he forgive us our sins, he made an awful price. He paid an awful price. And so we need to rejoice as we go along that our sins are paid for. They're all settled. And that's what John says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, now see, he's writing to Christians here. 1 John is written to Christians. And he says, my little children, I write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, if the Christian sins after he's saved, that's what it means. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so when Christians sin, when I sin, I just go to the Lord and ask him to forgive us, forgive me. And he says that, oh, he'll forgive us all of our sins if we just come to the Lord and can confess them to him. And so he talks and he goes on and he talks about 1 John 2, verse 2. He says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That's unbelievable. But on that cross, he paid for all of the sins. And that word propitiation simply means to satisfy. To propitiate means to satisfy, means to pay in full. It means an atoning sacrifice. And when Jesus Christ cried on the cross, and he says, it is paid in full, it is finished, it's all paid. Thank God for that. And so when we repent of our sins, he forgives us. And then when we fall, we lose our temper, we get jealous, we gossip, I don't know what it'll be. We just ask God to forgive us. And that doesn't mean that we're worrying about our soul. We're forever the Lord's. But when we sin after we're saved, it breaks our fellowship. Doesn't replace our relationship. We're the Son of God. For instance, you have your son, and you have a wonderful relationship, and then he goes astray, and your heart is broken, but he's still your son, but you have no fellowship. And then the son comes back, and he says, I'm sorry for my sins. And the father takes him in. Story of the prodigal son, isn't it? And the father takes him back, and the fellowship is restored. That's what God is talking about here. And so Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when he does that, they're all gone forever. God tells us through the prophet Isaiah. He says, although your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that's the shorn wool, when it's glistening white with the lanolin as a sheep are sheared. He makes it, writes it all off, takes it all away. You see, we have a problem when we carry our sins and we think, oh, I don't know. If I do something wrong, God will be done with me. And I don't know which way to turn. And what if I do my sins? And what if I do something, then I die before I can repent? Doesn't make a bit of difference if you repent or not. It just simply means if you've accepted Jesus and you're his child and you're born again, no matter what you do or where you travel, you belong to God. The fellowship might be broken, but not the relationship. That's still forever, and you're forever his. You know something, dear friend of mine? God wants to forgive us. He is not willing that any should perish, and he wants us to come to him. But we personally, sometimes we don't forgive that. We have trouble saying, well, how can he just forgive us out of the blue, forgive us? Because when people do something against us, we might hold a grudge for a while. We might just be a little upset for a while until we learn to forgive. See, and so we think God's like that and that he's stingy on forgiveness. But no, the moment we come to him, if we confess our sins, he says he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to him. And there's some people teach and they'll say, well, maybe you're not one of the called. Well, God tells us in John's gospel that he says he calls all men. If I be hung on that cross, I will call all men unto me. He's calling the whole world. And you can come if you want to, or you can reject if you want to, and it's all in your court. when we confess it, and then so when we accept the Lord, then just don't be asking God to forgive you all the time. We got a letter not long ago, and this lady says, how long do I have to confess sins when I was a teenager, the sins that I did? And she sees, so she's thinking about those sins of the past. Those sins of the past are all gone. God says that I'll take them all away. They're all washed away. For instance, in Isaiah 44 and 22, he says, I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud. You can't see them. They're all gone. David reminds us in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And the apostle then, John the apostle, instructs the children in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so all of the sins of the past, they're all washed away. They're forever ended. And when David, look at how David lived. Look at the awful sins in David's life. And when he went to God and he says, forgive me, I've against thee and thee only have I sinned. These transgressions are ever before me. And he asked for forgiveness and God forgave him. And then God said something that's kind of startling. God said, David is a man after my own heart. David committed murder and adultery, but in his heart, it was a mistake. It was a sin. He backslid and did a sin. But in his heart, God looks at the heart. You can't see my heart and I can't see yours. But God knows if we're genuine, if we really love him and following him. And if we open our heart to him, ask him in, he'll cleanse us and never have to pray for him again. So this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, if I have my sins and I have my sins like anybody else, then I come to him. And at the close of the day, then I'll say, oh, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for I've done these things. I ask you just to forgive me. And then I try again not to do those sins over. I remember when I was first accepted the Lord, 10 years old, and I had a temper. I got mad at the milking cows. And if you ever milked a cow, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you don't have any idea. They are most exasperating creatures on earth. And they'll swat you and they'll kick you and they'll everything that they shouldn't do, they do. And I used to get mad at those cows. And I thought, oh, if I could just get a control of my temper, I would be a perfect Christian. And so I did. I got so I could handle it and be good to the cows. And then I found something else. I'm having bad thoughts. And then I'm jealous. And then I'm talking about people. And then here I am, a poor old sinner. So I ask Jesus to forgive me. And he takes me and he washes all the sins away. And no matter how bad your sins might be, he wants you to come back. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to love him and to serve him. And so we think sometimes people say, oh, I don't know. I've asked him to forgive me so many times. I just wonder if he'll ever forgive me again. God will forgive you every time you go. Erwin Lutzer was a pastor of the famous Moody Memorial Church, and he comments on this very thing. He says, yes, forgiveness is always available to those who repent. God is merciful beyond all human explanation. We can never sin too many times or too much for God to pardon us. We often think that God is like we are. We forgive the same person a few times, and after that, we've had enough. God doesn't impose limits on forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ is never inadequate. It can cover all sins. Almost unbelievable, isn't it? And so then when we sin and we say, oh, God, I'm sorry, and we go back to God, and we pray to ask him to forgive us. And you say, oh, I've done this so many times. I've failed, and I've tried, and then I failed, and I tried, and I failed. And I don't know how I could. God can't never forgive me. But you know what God says? My grace is sufficient for thee. Grace. Who ever heard of grace? Only Christianity has grace. No other religion in the world has grace. And grace is unmerited favor. That is, we didn't deserve it, but he blessed us anyway. And maybe we don't deserve to be forgiven 100 times or 500 times or 1,000 times. But God's grace is greater than all of our sin, and He'll forgive us whenever we come back. You see that in the prodigal son. He's gone away from his father. He's broken his father's heart. He's gone away and he lived in a pig pen, lived a terrible life. When he came back, his father took him back. Because he's still his son, he's just broken his fellowship, see. And so go to Jesus no matter what your problem might be. But here's the thing. You have to go to Jesus and ask for repentance. You'll never have remission of sins until you go to Jesus and ask for it. There is a story about a strange case of George Wilson. It's a true story. In 1829, this true story, 1829, two men, Wilson and Porter, were convicted of robbing the United States mails and sentenced to death by hanging. 3 weeks before the time set for Wilson's execution, he was pardoned by President Andrew Jackson. Strangely enough, though, Wilson refused the pardon. The case went to the Supreme Court, United States v. George Wilson, 7 Peters Report, page 150, and the court finally handed down this decision. A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential, and delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered, and if it is rejected, we have discovered no power to force this upon him. Most of people agree that Wilson was a fool refusing acceptance and pardon, but that's exactly what God does. He's paid us par for our sins, but the pardon can't be ours until we accept Jesus. And if you don't receive the Lord into your life, then you'll die with your sins and you'll go into hell. That's all there is to it. Jesus told us that. And he says there's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus. And if you come to Jesus and you accept that pardon, he says, yes, dear Jesus, I am a sinner and I know I can't, and I don't go by good works. God says it, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Don't go by works because you're never going to get there by works. It's by accepting Jesus Christ, by faith. We ask him into our heart, and the Lord takes away our sins. And so the ball is in your court, dear friend. I've explained it the best way I possibly can. And if you want to be in heaven, and if you want to be with God, and if you don't want to go into torment, then you come to Jesus. You remember what Jesus said in John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard the word, it hasn't been delivered very well, and there's been a lot of mistakes in grammar, I'm sure, but you've heard the word of God that you need to receive Jesus. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, and you can believe if you want to, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And you hear his word, you believe on him that sent me, what happens? Jesus said it, John 5, 24, has everlasting life. And then Jesus goes on, and shall not perish, that is, you won't go into hell, but you pass from death unto life, the new Jerusalem, life with God forever. And it all depends on Jesus. Don't count on anything else. Don't count on the rituals of the church. Don't count on works. Oh, God, don't do that. Because Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way to heaven is Jesus. And so if you make that prayer right now, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll turn from my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Your own words say it. God wants you to say it. He's not willing that any should be lost. He wants you to come. Come now. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. We'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can send a gift through christianworshiphour.com. But you will write to us and we'll send you literature to get you started in the Christian life. If you'd like to have our little booklet, we have a little booklet, and the study this month, a new study every month. The study this month is Facing the Storms of Life. And you can use it as Sunday school lessons. You can use it as private devotions. You write, and so I'd like the new song. If you'd like to have that film, Heart of a Shepherd, and you can, so we'll send it on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, you write, and we'll send you one anyway. Somebody else will help us. But we need to have you write to us. And then we need to have you help us in this work. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so if you want to, you can go send us on the internet. You get ChristianWorshipHour.com. There's a place that says donate, and we get money from all different parts of the world. And if they put it in their currency, comes in American currency, and we pay our bills. And we have the only source of income is God's people, so we're counting on you. So now I'm going to pray, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for Laos, the persecuted church in Laos. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray today that you'll bless these people that are accepting you. And then we pray for those who are on beds of sickness and those who are lonely and those who are depressed and those who are hurting. Pray for the young people who have to make big decisions in life. Bless them and to the children that they'll come to you also. Dear Lord, we just pray for all of those who pray for us and support us and ask your blessing and guidance upon us. Bless our brothers and sisters in Laos, Lord. Help them to know they're worshiping with us now shortwave, that we're thinking of them and praying for them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to give our address again, especially for our shortwave people, and because you don't have a screen, and it's just Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Post Office Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And when you send your gift, you're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so everything is accounted for. And don't forget this, God loves you. He gave his son. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. Now, for over 40 years, we've labored to send this message all over the world. And I want you to know something, friends. I do love you, and I want to see you in heaven. And I can see you in heaven if you just ask Jesus into your heart. He loves you and I love you. And we'll have that love and carry on even in heaven. And so but the only way is through that door, Jesus. And the only way he'll come in is if you accept him in. Ask him into your heart. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.